Saw the light in the darkness. The songs and artists that inspired generations of musicians. It's the Hi-Fi Dream Deep Dive.
Hi-Fi Dream, the deep dive. We're coming out of OMD, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, the song Souvenir from 1981. Architecture and Mortality, which is a phenomenal artistic statement of a record. And that song was on that album. Before that was Anything Box, I Saw the Light in the Darkness, which we did like a whole thing on this song before we even came on, and even while it was on. I was saying to Willis that I almost wish we could go back and tell the dude who made that album, Anything Box, like how much time we spent talking about that one song. He'd be so happy, I'm sure, to hear how much we kind of broke that down like a school course.
Let's drop in on his Twitter feed and we'll throw in a comment or something.
Send him a clip of it, maybe. Send him a clip of us talking about it. Talk about OMD Souvenir. That was my choice. I'm curious what your thoughts are.
This song was so familiar to me, and yet I don't know if I could have named it for sure. And I know OMD from their hits, and I have a couple of OMD albums, but I don't have this one because it's a single, and I don't have that collection of singles album.
Oh, it was on the album. It was on Architecture and Mortality, the first album
they
put out. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why I don't know this song, but it sounds so familiar. And I learned just now that this was the first release with Paul Humphries on the vocals instead of the main vocalist Andy McCluskey. And I think he has a very delicate, like almost androgynous.
Less soulful than Andy.
Definitely.
You're right. And he fits those types of songs. Sorry.
The delicate and kind of ageless, really. It pulls me into like that teen. For me, I would have heard this as a teen. And you have that angst, you know. His voice in this song really puts you in that teen angst feel. So it's got a mood to it. And brings me back to feeling like a teenager.
Well, you mentioned Secret. You're familiar with Secret.
Yes,
you like definitely. That song. He sang lead on Secret too.
Okay.
Which I think, again, it calls for that voice, I believe. McCluskey has a more soulful voice. He was way more like animated and like with Yelp. And he was almost Robert Smith-esque at times. More punk, mm-hmm. from the punk side of it, passionately. He was more robotic and melodic, meaning Paul Humphreys. And he played keyboard, so he was kind of behind the music sometimes. But then when he'd take the lead and sing his songs, they were all very good songs.
Right.
Just a nice balance of it, because you didn't have to get like over inundated with one tone of voice. They were different enough, you know?
Yeah, so I knew so little about OMD back then that I even when I heard Secret, I assumed that it was a female singing, like they brought in a female vocalist. Yeah, that's what I was hearing. So
cool. It's interesting to hear that perspective.
Yeah.
But great band. One of my favorite bands of the 80s. I feel like they're one. A lot of 80s music, even the stuff that was cutting edge or like what I would consider like influential, a lot of it sounds so dated. You almost have to get past that and then be like, okay, this is because this was a popular production technique. Like we joked around the one note sax chords or whatever in house music. But there's something so beautiful when you go back and listen to an album from 1981 and say, like, man, this doesn't sound at all outdated, even though it's using the most primitive of equipment, you know, for electronic music, I should say.
Yeah.
And being, you know, sort of the pioneers of this particular sound, or one of the pioneers, and still making it, having it so it stands up 40, 50 years later is almost miraculous to me.
What's cool about this song, Souvenir, is the restraint that they use. Like the tempo, the filling, the instrumentation is very minimal, and it's kind of it's almost like a ballad, right? And so the restraint that they're using and displaying, I think that's what pulls it away from that era, because the era of New Wave, everything was supposed to be like kind of high-paced and dancey, right?
Yeah, romantic, this is not that. New romance, right?
Yeah, so this one feels it's got a little bit more maturity in the way it's structured, this song.
Good point. And I guess the minimalist sound that we heard in Anything Box song that you chose brought me backwards, oddly, but similarly minimal in its approach, not really ever exploding into like this climax. It's more just consistent. I love that about those two songs. This will change a little bit here. Both of these songs tend to lean towards more epic. To close this out, Miami Horror is your choice, which is really kind of an interesting one. I wouldn't expect this to come from you, but I'm excited you did. Let's talk about the track.
So I guess I pulled a lot of new songs this show. This is a new release from Miami Horror. I chose them a few shows ago with a collaboration with Miami Horror and RAC. And I don't know why I thought that this was not a collaboration, but actually it is. It's a collaboration with Silk Ribbons and also featuring someone named Queen Magic. I don't know who's who in this and who's doing what, but this is some new disco. It's a dance track, and it's called Still Glowin'. And these guys are interesting, I think. They're from Australia. And there are all these guys singing like falsetto, kind of like the Bee Gees. And I wonder if there's like a gene in Australia that's kind of producing offspring people like who have high falsetto voices and want to sing disco, because that's what we're getting from Miami Horror.
Tame Impala's new album will tell you the same thing, actually.
I haven't heard it yet.
I got to tell you, I could spend a whole show just talking about my thoughts on this new Tame Impala record.
Okay.
Not in a good way either, because I really was excited about some of it, hearing the songs that were being released early, but it's a mishmash of like good and what I think is not so good. But he completely committed to going to a house, like house record, electronic house, but his version. And I think the new disco sound you speak of with Miami Horror, I feel like he is not, I don't think his version is new disco, but he's definitely singing almost exclusively in a falsetto on the album. Like you said, and we'll talk about that. There is a couple songs there I really like, and I'm going to probably choose one on one of the next shows. So we'll talk more about the Tame Impala record, which just dropped.
I was shocked to hear Tame Impala mention on NPR. Like, they don't do ads, but they said, you know, Tame Impala's new release just came out on, and that shocked me.
But he did the Tiny Desk concert. That's probably why. They probably are promoting it. Okay. He did it a couple, last week, I think it was, the Tiny Desk concert. Usually when that happens, they promote the heck out of them. Yeah, great. There's some good moments on it. But regardless, Miami Horror, I think it was 2013 or 14, I went down to Coachella with a couple of friends, and my one of my best friend's future brother-in-law was there, and he was super into like new disco at that time. And I don't know, I guess I didn't buy into it at that point. And this was the band. He was like, I'm going to see Miami Horror this weekend. After the next weekend after, he's like, this Summer of Disco, bro. And I was like, what is he talking about, the Summer of Disco? And but it ended up being like this sort of, I guess, a revival of this disco sound. A bunch of groups that were coming out around that time, like Miami Horror, had this bunch. I think Roosevelt was another band that was like that.
Yep. Okay.
And it was good, but just so one note. It was just everything sounded like the same style song. But then they put out this new album, which I was surprised every single they put out, including Glowing, which I had as listed as Glowing. I don't know if it's still going, but they were all pretty good songs. And I feel like they've maybe opened up their sound now that it's more of an electronic project, not so much like a new disco project anymore, which I think is good because this kind of shows a growth for them.
They do have a song called Glowing, and so this is still Glowing. It's like a different song. Yep.
But anyway, a quality record, a lot of peaks and valleys on it too. It's not, again, it's not all up-tempo, which there are other albums. If you go back and listen, there's Naya Ballad in there. Everything kind of flows in one direction. I think this one does have sounds. That's probably why I indulged in a lot of their newer stuff this time around, including several off this new album. So I'm excited you chose this song. I wouldn't think of them as a band for you, but now it makes sense.
Well, I guess I'm not necessarily listening to too much new disco, but I think it fills out the show, right? Basically, in this genre of dance music, that I think it kind of fills the gaps of if we were going to play some, you know, French punk or French funk, right? Or you got new disco. It kind of fits in a little niche. But also I'm foreshadowing a little bit for the next show. The Miami aspect of Miami Horror, like they chose that name because what I read is Miami's like some glitzy, showy. It's a glitzy, showy word to people. You know, if you think about Miami and Miami
neon
Vice,
lights,
stuff
right,
like that.
Right.
Right. But then they added the horror part to kind of have a little bit of contrast of something a little bit more deeper. So that's just a little tidbit.
Okay. So that's a little, you're doing a little tease for next week?
Yeah, a little tease for next week's show.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I went on a little Miami Vice kick about 3 years ago. And
is that right?
Yeah, I started watching all the old episodes. I think it's on like Tubi or one of those. And then I found like there's this YouTube channel that streams 24/7 Miami Vice shows. It's like, it runs wherever it is in the cycle of the seasons. It keeps running one after the other. And it's constantly live. And I was for like probably three or 4 months, I would go to bed every night watching old Miami Vice episodes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good lead in for next week.
It's a whole vibe. Yeah. So the last song on the show, nothing like Miami Horror. I chose, for the first time in 93 shows, I chose Radiohead. Now, Willis chose two songs by them in the past, so it's not, that's more why I didn't feel like I had to. I also run into this problem of, I don't know what to pick by a band that has done as much, that has moved me as they have. Same thing with The Cure, but even more so with Radiohead. I just don't know what one song I could be like, here's the one, you know? This week, this one popped out as if I have to do one, and I do have to. They're probably the most important band in modern day. You know, I would put them in this very short list of the most important bands of all time. And how do I not pick them on the show that's called The Deep Dive? So
true.
I had to pick a not so obvious one that's not too obscure. Went right in the middle, probably their second most famous album, maybe third, in Rainbows. Weird Fishes is the song, arpeggi, but it's really Weird Fishes. And I think this song touches all the chords for Hi-Fi Dream and also for me. What are your thoughts?
I'm really glad you pulled the trigger on Radiohead, because I have a hard time with them, not because I don't like them. I think they're phenomenal. This song is really, like you say, a demonstration of how phenomenal they are in the way they arrange, their artistry, they're bold. They play with like mood and tension. This song has all of that. But I think it's because it's like touching a live wire, you know? Like, you told a very compelling story a long time ago. You told me about how their album, or maybe it was a concert, that just changed the way, like, you wanted to change the way you made music.
To burn everything. I said the music industry should burn itself down and rebuild itself today. That was after Kid A. It was a true story.
Right. And
true story. I said that out loud.
And so that stuck with me. And I'm like, wow, he really puts these guys on a pedestal. And to know that and to see how influential they have been on the industry, it's like this untouchable, I don't know, like, thing. And so I can't even approach Radiohead. And that's where I'm just afraid. but I think I should definitely, I want to listen to more. And I think the other part is, you have to be in kind of a headspace when you listen to their albums. And I think their albums are meant to listen through and through, like, yes, the whole album. Because the first time I really listened to a whole Radiohead album was on a transatlantic, like going over the, flying from here to Hong Kong. It's like a 14-hour flight. And back then, before it was all you can eat, you know, listen to whatever or watch whatever you want on the in-flight screen, they just had like a couple of albums that you could listen to. And one of them was, I think they had two Radiohead albums. I think it was Amnesiac. Mm-hmm. And the one with his face. What was the one with the big face on it?
What, the Bends?
The Bends, yeah. And those were so trippy listening to at,
I'm sure,
you know, 30,000 feet. Like, your head is congested. You can't, all you hear is the sound of the plane, like the rumble of the engines. But I was listening to Radiohead for at least 3 hours straight.
Wow, what a headspace.
And I was kind of like dozing in and out, you know. I'd wake up and I'd hear Tom York clang, like, wailing in my head. And I was like, man, this is really good. Like, I was in a zone. And so for me, that's what Radiohead to me was. It's like, reserve that for when you're up, like, really kind of in the atmosphere. And so it's hard for me to just pick a song like that, I think.
I get it. I almost wish I didn't love them as much as I did, because I wish I could be sort of the contrarian with Radiohead, but I can't. Like, people who I've run into, a few people in my life that have tried to give me that whole Radiohead is overrated bit, and unfortunately for those people, immediately I'm like, I don't really value your opinion, because like, there, you can't validate yourself if you tell me that they're a hack band. You could tell me you don't like them. You could tell me you're not interested, or you don't like his voice, or you don't like that style of music. But anybody who turns to me and says they're overrated because of the impact, just that alone, like, that'd be like somebody saying Pink Floyd's overrated. It's fact that they aren't overrated, because people, like, not even just music heads, people across all walks of life kind of, what would you say? fell in love with Pink Floyd's music. It wasn't just like a sect of music fans, you know. Right. They were their Dark Side of the Moon was on the charts for like 10, 20 years. It stayed on the charts. So it's sort of the same thing with Radiohead, where I can understand not liking them. I can understand not being interested in listening to them. But if you really do spend the time understanding what they're doing, how they're doing it, how they write songs, the instruments, how they use patches and sound patches and tones more than any group maybe ever before. Maybe Nine Inch Nails is one of the groups that's comparable in that regard in production and creating sound. But regardless, they are at the top of the very top of the mountain, and every song that they put out or every album has a different place. None of their albums sound like they were the same band when they started it. So this is probably the middle ground between electronic indie rock of their early days. The indie rock of their early days, the electronic of their later, and Thom Yorke's solo stuff. And really their, I guess, compulsion to kind of be a little bit more musical and jazzy and really strange time signatures. All of that included in a song that's full of melody, that's easy to listen to. I wouldn't call this a difficult listen. Would you agree?
Right, it's very accessible. Maybe later in the song, it's still very different.
Yeah.
Still very different.
At the end of the song, it kind of goes off on like this, like a lot of like tinkering with music, but the like a last minute and a half, 2 minutes of the song, but really just an exercise in how a group. My last point of the day, Willis, they did it right. They started very close to Earth, the song Creep. Everybody loved Creep. They hated that song, but it became a massive hit and became well-known across all genres, like hip-hop heads like Creep, right? Yep. Then they kind of went a little further away on the bends, but they had Fake Plastic Trees. They had High and Dry, which were very accessible radio songs, but they kind of started to go further away from the surface of Earth. Yeah. Then OK Computer was like just the right amount of distance away from Earth, but that was their breakthrough moment. Then they went further with Kid A, which really went way out there, but it was one of the best-selling records of the 2000s. It kind of changed the whole game. Right. Sound was different. Everything was different about it, but it was just close enough to Earth. And then they kept going and going. People kept going with them. They kept it enough that it was listenable, not just tinkering and like, you know, incredible skill. They made it all very listenable. So this is just a testament to how great the band is. And I think a perfect way to end our October, late October deep dive.
Great choice.
Last thoughts, anything before we start the last set and leave?
I think it's also worth mentioning, like, you, all that, and I don't think you could say they sold out, right?
Never.
They just kept making art, and that's what's beautiful about it. And you can see it in Thom Yorke's face, like his expression. He's in it. Like, he's not just trying to be popular, right? He's just making music. And
might even be a little crazy, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
In a good way, because he's a genius.
Would you say the smile is taking on, like, is it truly the next level?
I mean, the smile is his primary project. Radiohead's doing a couple of shows, which is like kind of awoken the spirits a little bit, because people are thinking maybe they'll do an album if they do a few shows, which I think they announced only doing a few in Europe. They haven't been working on new music in years and years. I think what he said was they've done two Smile records in the last 2 years, but three projects with the Smile since they've done a Radiohead project. So I would say it's Thom Yorke, his solo stuff, and the Smile is his primary project. I just pray we get at least one more Radiohead project album before, you know, the world changes. Like, what if something happens to one of these guys? People die all the time. What if that? What if I die before the next Radiohead album? That can't happen. So I hope they do at least one more in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Leave it at that. Cool. But anyway, I hope you'll dive in. Willis, I hope you take the deep dive into a Radiohead album soon, because I think it'll be very rewarding for you if you use those damn headphones of yours.
They're next on my list now, officially. All right.
And I'll be excited to see which song ends up in a future deep dive, because I know you'll pick one of the ones that stand out.
All right, now I have motivation.
Okay, so this is Miami Horror doing Still Glowing, and then followed by the last song on the show, Radiohead's Weird Fishes. Willis, thanks so much, brother. You did a great job today, as always.
Hey, thank you, Greg, and I want to thank everyone for listening to our show.
Yes, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. Yeah, through all of this, you get to at least hear these great songs. Willis, have a great week. Everybody, we'll see you back here next week for another edition of The Deep Dive on Hi-Fi Dream.
This is The Deep Dive with Greg and Willis.
Picture.